to the Real Estate Marketing Podcast. My name is Jerome Lewis. I'm your host for today. The Real Estate Marketing Podcast is a podcast where we talk marketing, tech, business, and leadership. We talk these things for real estate agents, real estate investors, and real estate entrepreneurs. The Real Estate Marketing Podcast is a podcast that has two purposes. Purpose number one, to educate and inform our audience and listeners. Purpose number two, Mickey, to spotlight you, your business, your service, or your product in a way that provides value to you, including market exposure and content creation. With that, we have a very special guest, Mickey Kennedy. Mickey Kennedy founded E-Releases 24 years ago to help small businesses, authors, and startups increase their visibility and credibility through their tier one press release distribution. He lives in the Baltimore area. So we have a short and sweet bio. Mickey is going to dive into what he does and why it's relevant to us today. Mickey, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So Mickey, reading your bio, it says E-Releases was established 24 years ago. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Why you started?
So I was working for a telecom research startup as employee number three. And because I had just finished an MFA in creative writing, they told me, you know, you figure out press releases for us. And so I looked at the press releases that I thought would work, found out some didn't, and some got more interest. And what I found is that we publish data. And journalists like data, but they also like you to sort of highlight what are the interesting bits of data. So the anomalies and little strange, international traffic, like why does the traffic from the US to a particular Caribbean country, you know, equal all the traffic data for all other countries? Why is that happening? And little things like that. Now I put that together and send out press releases, and I found it was pretty easy to get media pickup. Financial Times, The Economist, Washington Post, New York Times, a lot of major international media pickup that we got just by sending out press releases. At the time we were faxing, and I was beginning to see journalists who would call and say, could I just email that press release over? Because we are publishing numbers. It's easier to copy and paste data than it was to just work off of a fax, which is what we were doing at the time. Hard to believe. And so I just started building a Rolodex after that. And I had the idea for emailing press releases. And I spent about a year in my downtime just reaching out to journalists and asking if I could email them press releases. And almost all of them at the time, it's now going, you know, pretty close to 25 years since I did that, they said yes. And so I started with a database of about 10,000 journalists. And over time, we've moved away from just the email distribution to include newswire distribution. PR Newswire reached out to us and really liked what we were doing, and that we served small businesses and entrepreneurs and startups and all different types of individuals and companies. And they wanted to make it work. And I didn't think it would, because I know they charge now close to $1,500 for a 600-word press release to go out nationally. And my clients were used to paying a couple hundred dollars. And so it's no longer a couple hundred dollars now, but it's still a savings of at least 2/3 of what it would cost to go to the wire directly when you work directly with us and go through E-Releases. And that's really just been our mantra, is to provide as much value as we can for small businesses and help people get an edge up over someone else and use the leverage opportunity that exists with PR.
Thank you for sharing that. So one of the things that jumped out to me when we were talking was, one is you started 24 years ago and you started contacting these proper contacts. So I just like my guests to understand, and I like people to understand when they're working with me, it's so important that you can go find any and everybody, and anybody can do like a lot of the stuff that happens. But one of the biggest parts about anything that we do is like the human connections and the networking, right? So you have a strong network that almost nobody has, because you've been doing it for 24 years. You know all the proper contacts, you know what to do, how to do it, when, and you know all the intricacies. So could you talk about that, please? Like why someone would work with you as opposed to doing it by themselves?
Right. So I think the biggest reason to work directly with us is it's just daunting to have relationships with everyone. And, you know, there are specialty PR firms that do try to establish industry relationships. So generally a PR firm will be like in one particular industry. If you ever work with a PR firm and they say, we service all industries, they're not good PR firms, because even someone who just dedicates themselves for fashion, for example, there's a lot of relationships that they have to cultivate and establish within the fashion arena and take advantage of new influencers that come on board, like Instagram influencers and things like that. They're also, I would characterize them as members of the media as well, because where people get media from is evolving. And it's not just news websites or blogs anymore. It's also including, you know, individuals, and it's including social media. People are reaching out and trying to, you know, approach and make it work. So I think that understanding that is, you know, really important, because at eReleases, we've done the work and we continue to do the work. I mean, meaning relationships with journalists, but we also recognize that the biggest value at eReleases is that newswire distribution, because by pushing a button and getting on the newswire, you're available to pretty much everyone. And most journalists have a newswire that they like and use. PR Newswire is the oldest and largest newswire press releases. There's a total of three in the U.S. There's PR Newswire, Business Wire, and Globe Newswire. Outside of that, they may have wire in their name, but they're not true news wires that issue press releases to the media.
Excellent. So what I want to do is I want to take us back a little bit, and I want to, like, it's going to sound very basic, but sometimes we, you know, we need to understand. So help me understand. We're like using some words, press, media, and then newswire. So I want you to help us understand each of those words and the context of those words. So number one, I would like to start with press. Help us understand what press is and why it matters to us as business owners, agents, investors, etc.
Right. So the press is the media. It's like, you know, your local newspaper. It's, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a business magazine or newspaper in your area as well, it includes trade publications, industry publications that are within your industry. Also includes people who write about your industry at other media sources as well, like the papers, like magazines, consumer magazines. Also includes radio and TV. And as I mentioned, it also is evolving to include influencers in social media, as well as people who blog within your industry. It's not unusual for an influential blog to get more traffic than, say, the leading trade publication within your industry. So do not discount that, especially when it comes to local media. You know, it's a huge opportunity for you to stand out in your community. And especially in the real estate arena, a lot of the business that's done is done locally. And I think that if you think about it, there's probably less than 10 media who cover real estate in your market or cover extremely well. Your local newspaper, there's probably one or two people who write about real estate there. Build your own Rolodex. Do what I do. You know, then go to the business magazines and pick out who covers real estate there. Reach out to them and ask for their email address. They are members of the media. They should be accessible. It's not like asking a celebrity for their personal email address. It's a member of the media. So build your own Rolodex. If there's TV programs that sometimes spotlight real estate businesses, find out who the producer or booker of that segment is and get their email address. And now that you have a Rolodex of probably 10 to maybe 14 people in your market, reach out to them as you have newsworthy ideas. You don't need to pay a service like eReleases for local media. It's the easiest media to get, and it's the easiest to cultivate a relationship. And if you can sort of work that and build those relationships, be an asset to these people as you have newsworthy tips. Like maybe you see something trending in your industry and you want to bring it to their attention. You can do it in the position of you as a real estate professional, provide an amazing quote, because if you have a great quote, a journalist can build a story about it all around it. And so, you know, keep that in mind. But sometimes even if you don't have a piece of news that you're trying to promote or an idea or hook, just consider, you know, saying something really nice to that member of the media just to stay in contact. Maybe you saw an article that they did that you thought was really well done. You know, sort of try to provide some evidence that you read it, like say, hey, I noticed how you talked about this company and construction company in the marketplace and how it seems like they're always getting the government contracts. And I was like, yes, you know, it's good to see that in print, because I've felt that way a long time in the industry. People appreciate that. They appreciate people pointing out stuff that they felt was you know, really good quality writing content, and everybody likes to be praised. So, you know, maintain these relationships by trying to contact them maybe at least quarterly, but if you can do it monthly or every other month, you know, just go for it. And as it seems natural, you know, put yourself out there. If you one great hack I've seen is if you're in a market like say Chicago, but you know people who are doing the same exact thing in another market, create Google alerts around them. And as you see them get into print and articles about them, pitch a similar idea to you locally. You know, don't say, I've seen this in another market, let's copy them. But what you do is say is, hey, I've noticed a trend in my industry where people are talking about sustainability. And I'd love to talk to you about some initiatives that I've seen with some of the builders I've worked with and architects and things like that. And boom, here's an amazing quote that you could build a story around. That's all you need. You don't need to write a whole press release when you're targeting local media. And I do think that it's one of the biggest opportunities. And it's probably why, if you pay attention in your market, you will notice that the same companies again and again get recycled in the news. And it's not because journalists are being paid by them. It's because journalists are busy and they like to plug in whoever's close by. So these are people who are establishing relationships and working the relationship. Be part of that so that they can put you in the mix and you can get mentioned as well.
Thank you for sharing that. So the definitions, the words I gave was press, media, and newswire. Is it safe to say that press and media are the same, or is there a difference?
So I characterize press and media the same. Press comes from the old printing press. So it generally has represented print, but I think it's used interchangeably now. And I think that it's good to go with that. When it comes to a newswire, it used to be like a electronic teletype systems that would be, through intranets, and that's been replaced by the internet. And it's evolved a little bit, but largely it's a repository of information. It used to come directly into the newsrooms, but now it's just available on the internet. So a journalist has a login to PR Newswire, for example. And when they log in, they get to pick the industry feeds that they see by default. They can also customize that. So for example, someone who covers fashion, but maybe they don't cover, you know, ready to wear and retail markets like Target. So they can set up exclusions or inclusions. So if it mentions ready to wear, I don't want to see those press releases. If it mentions, you know, certain retailers, here are some keywords, I don't want to see these releases. So it can make it very useful as a tool for them when they're looking for a story to see these press releases. And a press release is just something that's written in the third person. It's usually 400 to 600 words. It's an announcement, who, what, when, where, how, why, that you just want to get out. And ideally it's leading with a hook, something that's captivating. And, you know, we use the word newsworthy, something that would interest the news. And you're just getting the facts out there. You may have a great quote. You should have a great quote in the press release. And there's usually a media contact at the end of it. And what you're looking for is the journalist to turn that into an article. We're not looking for them to copy and paste the press release and put it out there. There is a practice called syndication that happens in the press release world. And there are companies who specialize in only doing syndication. So a journalist will never see your press release. And I feel like that's misguided, because the syndication locations of these press releases don't get a lot of traffic. It might just look good because you could use some logos to say you were on this Fox affiliate, this little unknown journal. But what we're looking for is to have people write about us an original article. We call that earned media in the industry. And it's because you've earned this article that's been written about you. And the importance of this is that when a journalist writes about you, it's almost like an implied endorsement or social proof. It's a huge credibility boost. When someone sees an advertisement, no one gets excited and say, I'm so impressed that this company could afford an ad. But when someone sees a journalist has written a full page about you, they're like, wow. And, you know, their blinders never go up like they do with advertising. And so it's one of the reasons that when people get earned media, they often get amazing conversions. For example, you might have like a certain article where 400 people click through from that article to your website and a couple hundred people buy. That's not unusual. And yet you could ask any marketing guy, do you routinely have sales pages that convert at 50%? And they'll tell you absolutely not. Nobody does. It's just impossible. But when, you know, that's the difference with an article compared to an advertisement. It really is one of these things that just is surrounded with so much third-party corroboration, this authority that happens. It really does build rapport and excitement in the reader.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So that leads me to what's really funny is I'm part of a community and someone just asked about, he said, I need a PR guy. And I'm like, I don't know what is PR is what I'm trying to ask you. Like, what does that mean? What does that stand for? And how do we use that in our businesses?
Right. So PR stands for public relations, and it's all encompassing all these different services that when it comes to you facing the public, of which press releases is one component, and it's the one that e-releases specializes in. Other things that public relations professionals may be involved with are how you volunteer efforts between your company and the community. Could also be other sort of things that you do in the community, like hosting certain events, maybe certain parades and things like that. Also other forward facing things with the public, which may include, the presentation of information on your website to the local community. So it also includes branding and lots of other things that sort of fall within public relations. It does blend over into marketing as well. But when it comes to my expertise, it's predominantly in just press releases and the type of PR that's interacting with members of the media and trying to get that earned media.
Thank you. So when I was reading your sheet, there's a bullet on there that talks about how you can close more deals through using PR as credibility. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So and the best example I have is a client that came to me as a local carpet company in New Jersey and said, we've got a budget to do one press release a month for a year. And I told them I didn't think it was going to work for them and to save their money. And they said, we've already had it earmarked. We've got it to spend. We're going to spend it with you or someone else. So I said, okay. And we did a few releases for them. Nothing happened. At month five, I said, let's have another brainstorm and see if we can figure this out. Some of the questions that I asked, the one that was most important was, who's your biggest enemy? And just expecting it to be, Vincent across the street with his carpet company. It wasn't. It was the big box home improvement stores. And when they told me, you could just see they got angry. They're just they supply an inferior service. They do not ask of their vendors, have you ever installed carpet before? They just say, are you licensed as a home improvement person in the state? And are you available tomorrow between 12 and 4? And people then install carpets that haven't been stretched properly, seams that are very noticeable, and just the experience that homeowners have are just really an inferior experience. And so I said, let's lead with this. So we created a David versus Goliath approach and talked about how they, as a local carpet company, have to market against these big giants that are well-funded. And it got picked up in about almost a dozen floor trade publications. And they were really excited. And I pointed out, these people who read this trade publication are other local carpet companies. They're not your customers. So they said, it's all right. We have an idea. And so we said, let's see if this will work again. We did another marketing type press release, sent it out. And again, we got four or five articles. And so we replicated this over the rest of the year, trying different things, but they were all genuinely within the realm of marketing, which we found was a blind spot. A lot of people don't talk about marketing as a business, and at least in their industry. So it was ripe for us to discuss. They ended up getting picked up in their local newspaper as well as New Jersey Magazine. And I think about 20 some trade publications. I've hit close to 30 overall. And so they put all the clippings, they printed them out in color laser printers. And when they go and give someone a quote, They say, hey, we may not come in the cheapest, but we have a superior product. We're recognized nationally. Here we are in Floor Trade Weekly. Here we are in this trade publication. And they just thumb through the book. And then they share that they were also picked up in the local paper and New Jersey Magazine. Now, when a homeowner's trying to decide if they want to save $300 and go with this company, they're saying, let's go with the company that seems to have its act together. I mean, they're nationally recognized. They've been in business for a couple of decades. They, you know, warned us about some of the things, the pitfalls of going with the cheapest. So they started converting 17% more of these quotes, turning them into sales just by having what they called a brag book. And that worked extremely well for them. And I think it works for a lot of people. And it can also work where you're not face to face with a customer. For example, you've got these clippings, share them as they happen with your social media. Look, we've been picked up in this publication. Here's the link. Maybe a screenshot on Twitter, like an image of this, of the logo or the screenshot of the headline, and get your accolades out there. Share it in your newsletter to customers. Remember, customers will shop and make sure they're working with the best company. Maybe not every year, but at some point they do. But if they read this article, get that good feeling that this is a company that knows what they're doing, they're going to feel very comfortable that they don't have to shop this year. Same thing with leads. There's always people on the fence that decide not to work with you. Now, what if those people on the fence read an article, saw that you were a great company, you really knew what you were doing? They're more likely to convert in your favor. And so these are all the ways in which PR can help you, and just recycling that. I recommend, you know, putting a newsroom on your website and putting your press releases there, as well as your articles that you get picked up. Also, make sure you create screenshots or PDFs or some preservation of these articles, because content management systems change over time and articles can go away. So you want to make sure you preserve this so that you're building an archive and a legacy that can survive and live on. I went to a website. My daughter wanted me to get her a Christmas present one year. I said, no way am I putting my credit card into this website. And it just did not pass the smell test until I saw they had a news tab. I clicked on the news tab and they had press releases going back 8 years. And I felt comfortable. No fraudster is going to go through and develop 8 years worth of content. And so I did give this ugly website that looks like it was built 30 years ago my credit card information. And it was only because they had a newsroom. And maybe I'm biased because it's kind of one of the things that I look for. But I think that people, when they see a newsroom with a lot of content going back a while, they feel like this is a company that's invested in themselves, preserving their history, communicating it to the media and the marketplace. And I think that that stands for something. And I think that when it comes to real estate, there's so many opportunities for you to share, you know, amazing things, whether it's, you know, property listings, like you got something that's really historic in an area that's really amazing. Or it could be company announcements, like, you know, an expansion of the company or a merger or an award that someone at the company has won. There's lots of opportunities for you to get out there and sort of present yourself in a newsworthy angle. You know, community involvement. I mentioned sustainability earlier. There's lots of little initiatives. And I think that these are all opportunities that you can take advantage of and, you know, work your in your market and try to get the media attention that you deserve. It may not happen with your first pitch, may not happen with your second or third pitch, but it will happen. Everybody who's committed to reaching out and communicating, it will happen. And once it does happen and you get a toehold, it just gets easier from there. You get more comfortable determining what they're receptive to and what they're looking out for. And you're more comfortable taking what happens naturally in your business through the filter lens of, is this important enough that, you know, maybe the media would want to share it with their audience?
Thank you for sharing that. One of the things that I teach my students is, and it's not my idea. I got the concept from it happens in real estate, is to become like a local celebrity. And like real estate, most of the time when we're in real estate, we're serving like locally. So could you talk about like, should we, like if we're trying to gain press release and apply some of the things that you're applying, should we start national? Should we start local? Like, what are some of your ideas and your concepts on how we can be effective in gaining that media attention that we need?
I think that if you're a business that really just does your business is conducted within a community, I say focus in that community, and you can go into like little suburbs and things like that. I've had real estate people do extremely well with the thing that I talked about, building your own local Rolodex, and come back to me and say it's worked really well. I've also had them say that it's worked for like suburbs have free papers. Usually they're weeklies. And they've said that not only has that worked well with them, they are looking for content because they're selling advertising. And often they don't have they don't have the money to hire a lot of writers to build content. So I've had this work where several of them have come and said, hey, I'd like to present a couple of interesting listings of the week. And we'll get the images and permission from the homeowner and put them on here. And I could talk a little bit through what's really cool about these listings. And again, it's something where they look at it as free content and they can sell a few real estate ads adjacently around it and things like that. So it is amazing, the opportunity. It's almost like getting your own column. If you can come and pitch an idea as you, as the expert, it can go really well. And I think that having ready-made content for some of these places can be a huge asset. Like what are the 10 things to avoid in a home closing, or you know, is now the wrong time to buy because of interest rates, and here's my take on it. And pricing is variable, and generally when interest rates go up, the prices get a little deflated, so it's a better buy. You can always refinance later. So just breaking down some of these common Q&A's, questions and answers that people have can really sort of, you know, give you a platform to get out there and sort of build your brand, whatever, you know, whatever field that you're directly in.
Thank you for sharing that. So one of the things that I learned over, it took me long enough to learn it, but it's like, it's not like one of the great ways to promote, which you talked about earlier, is like to promote something else other than yourself. So you seem as an expert. So one of the things that I like to help my students do is like to create content. And one of our staples is like to create a book. So can you talk about like how we would create like a book and, you know, apply that and tie that into our press releases and getting some media attention?
Right. So a book is a really great way to sort of stand out. It serves as like a business card, but like on steroids. When someone sees, for example, you knock on their door and they, you know, they're getting quotes for a basement remodel, and here's a book you've written about the proper way to you know, finish your basement. They're like, this person knows what they're talking about. And certainly the homeowner's not going to take that book and go downstairs with a hammer and do it themselves. They're looking for a professional to do it for them. So, I have a book that's about writing press releases, and it's sort of like a definitive book about how to write press releases. And that's how a lot of people have discovered e-releases, is through that book. And it's also a book that's taught in technical writing in a lot of colleges. And so I just find that really fascinating, that I've got a lot of people who've discovered me in a lot of different ways and places. And when someone is looking for a service, if they see you've written a book about it, especially a definitive book, it really does, you know, passes the smell test that this is a legitimate person, legitimate company. I should consider working with them. I have a friend who, Mike Capuzzi, who has a website, Bite Sized Books. And what he realized is that you don't have to build a giant definitive book. You could just have a little 84 page book with a large print. And I had done a webinar that's an hour long, educating about strategic types of press releases. And he said he thought it was fabulous. And he asked me for my transcript and said, I could turn this into a little book for you. And so we did that. And now it's there's been like over 3,000 or 4,000 of those printed since we did that about a year and a half ago. So it's just a great calling card. I set the prices real low, so I'm not making any money on the sales of the book, because I do see it as like, this is a brochure about you and your company. And if you're providing great education, people are going to recognize that and value that and want to do business with your company.
Man, thank you for sharing that. You kind of caught me off guard. I didn't know you wrote a book. So One of the things that I always like to do with my guests is I always like to see if I can get a signed copy. How can I get a signed copy of your book?
Just let me know your address and I'll send okay. you one.
Okay, we'll do. I'll do that. And how can we learn more about the book for the listeners?
Right. So if you visit earrelease.com, and I think towards the footer, there's a book that will show up. It's the Beginner's Guide to Press Release Writing. And if you click through to that, you can get a PDF version of it for free. I was just going to try to see if I could find the direct link. Let's see. But yeah, I think the best place is just to look at the homepage, or you can also hit the contact button and just ask in our office. We have chat. It's not robots or anything like that. It's real humans. As well as email directly to an, and they'll put you in touch with how to get it. And you can get it completely free. The PDF version is completely free.
Okay, excellent. And you mentioned like you've done one of your webinars, and when we were talking in the green room, you said you have a masterclass. Can you tell us about the masterclass?
Sure. So it's available at ereleases.com/plan, P-L-A-N, and it's completely free as well. This is the webinar that got turned into a small book, but there's a video component that where I walk you through in about an hour all of the strategic types of releases that you could do that are meaningful and likely to get media pickup. The hard reality of press releases is a lot of the press releases don't generate earned media. It's because people are doing product launch press releases that only mention the product and a list of features. What's missing is the elements of a story arc, and journalists write with a story arc. So the things that are missing from a product launch are a use case study. What was the problem that brought this customer to you? What was their experience using it? What were the, you know, what are the percentage results that they got from it? And then a quote by them talking about the product, obviously in a favorable way. And so it goes into all these different things. It goes into how, you know, one of the easy ways to make yourself newsworthy is to get data. And often that's through doing a survey or a study. So you could do a survey or study in your local market on particular issues. And as long as you get 100 plus responses, that usually passes a smell test from a statistical relevance for most journalists, especially in local markets. And then you put together what you thought were the biggest aha moments from the survey. So you're going to have to ask really cool questions, things that are very timely right now. So you often want to dovetail that with what's going on in your industry. And then put some amazing quotes together as why you felt the data of the survey skewed a particular way. Often it's great if you can pick a couple questions that had surprising results that people may not realize, and why you feel that it turned out that way. So that's one way to sort of stand out as an expert and really get the attention of media, because media loves data. They love numbers, and they love it when you tease those out through a survey or a study.
Thank you. So you shared like one of your case studies a little bit earlier. You shared one of your more recent case studies. Do you have any favorite like success stories that you have when a client came to you, they were working with you, and they achieved like excellent results?
Right. So I'm going to give you like probably what I would consider the most successful client we've had. And if you go to our website and click on case studies, it's at the top left. It's called the Dining Bond Initiative. And it was a very short-lived effort during the pandemic that was built to just help restaurants that were closed. And it worked where you nominated your favorite local restaurant. If their volunteers were able to get in touch with that restaurant, you could give money that would go directly, immediately to them and be backed through what they call a dining bond, like a gift certificate. And it generated over 150 articles. I think it probably generated over 250. We quit counting at 150 because it just seemed like we were finding more and more local papers nationwide that picked it up. It ended up generating international pickup. It just exploded. Over $10 million in revenue was created through this one press release that would have cost $350. Again, ask any marketing guy, hey, do you have a way to take $350 worth of effort and turn it into $10 million? You can't do that with Google Ads. You can't do that with Pinterest or TikTok. It just doesn't happen. But because of the leverage opportunity of PR, it potentially could. And this was a wild, extreme example. It was a perfect storm. It was positive news at a time where there was uncertainty and negative news. Everybody was going home to flatten the curve, and we didn't know what was happening. But here was something that was positive and actionable. This is something you could do from home. You could give $20 to your favorite local pizza shop that was likely closed. So, you know, it worked extremely well. And there's no way that you could have personally pitched hundreds of places and gotten this pickup as quickly as you can by going over the newswire, just hitting a button, and all of a sudden have a couple hundred places write about you and report about
you. Thank you for sharing that. I want to find out how we can add value to you. So I'm going to ask these questions. And just to give you, like, if someone asked me this question, I would answer like this. So the first question is, how can someone add immediate value to your business? It could be as simple as go purchase a copy of my book. It could be go like my Facebook page, go like the new article I posted. So how can someone add immediate value to you or your business?
I think for me, it's go out there and learn a little bit more about PR. Take that free masterclass that I mentioned that's at ereleases.com/plan. It's completely free, and it's just a great way to do an audit of your business to see if, you know, what type of strategic releases you can brainstorm yourself and get started as easily as that. I think that's a great entry
place to start. If I ask you, how can someone bring long-term value to you or your business, would you be able to answer that one without an example?
Yeah, I think that the most long-term value that we have are referrals. You know, we have people that used us 10 years ago that when someone says, I won an award and I want to do a press release, do you know how I do that? And they immediately say, oh, you've got to just use e-releases. It's easy. They'll help you. They'll walk you through the entire process. And that's it. I mean, once you've made a customer for life, they remember you. They are your vocal cheerleader, and they are champions. And still to this day, 2/3 of our new customer sales that come in each month are not through ads. They're not through any type of paid placement. They're just organic, and they don't come from a particular website. And I know in my heart of hearts that these are direct referrals where someone just recommended us and someone went and typed in ereleases.com or clicked on someone's email and went directly to ereleases.com.
Thank you. What are three books you recommend to the audience and why?
So three books. I'm going to recommend my Beginner's Guide to Press Release Writing. I think it's a really valuable, definitive book on writing a great press release. I'm going to recommend Perry Marshall's 80-20 of Sales and Marketing. I think that it really gets down there and explains the 80-20 Pareto principle of how to approach it to marketing. And basically it's like, is there, you could go after all the markets like Pinterest, TikTok, Google, all these places, but for a lot of people, one of these markets is probably going to represent 80% of your revenue, and figure out how to do it and do it extremely well. Not saying ignore everything else, but start there, and then you can build out to other markets and other places. And the same thing with like 80% of your headaches in marketing probably come from one type of customer. Figure out who they are and try to exclude them. Try to create paths that will winnow them out so that you're not looking at them in your leads. And I guess my third one, I think that... it's an old one. It's Made to Stick, and I'm just looking up the offer. It was the brothers Chip and Dan Heath, and it was basically about, you know, why do some ideas and types of businesses succeed and others fail, and that there's a timelessness that you can create in a market that just continues to grow and expand. You know, when Amazon launched over 20 years ago, it just was like a cool place to buy books, but there was something about them that they were able to stick through and build to the giants that they are. And if you can sort of figure out what it is that is an idea that can survive, you can build a business there and let it foster and grow and expand over time.
Thank you for sharing that. What's one question you wish I had asked you, and how would you have answered?
What did you do before you fell into public relations? What was your game plan? And for me, it was poetry. I mentioned I had a writing degree. It was a MFA in creative writing with an emphasis in poetry. And I really felt like I was probably just going to wait tables and write poetry in the evenings. And that didn't work out. I tried it for a summer and realized that I wasn't writing poetry because I was just psychologically, wasted at the end of these long 12-hour shifts standing on concrete with my ankles hurting, my knees hurting, my back aching. And I have a lot of appreciation for people who work in the service industry because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it and still survive at the end of the day and read and write. So I looked for a safe office job, and that's when that telecom research startup hired me as employee number 3.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. If you could close us out with one word, no explanation, what word would that be?
I'm going to say fellowship.
Fellowship. Tell us why.
I think that I started my business just reaching out to journalists and building friendships. I did the same thing because there was no place to market back then. I just belonged to forums. Bulletin boards, we called them back then. And we helped each other. We were friends. And I still recognize some of those people, now 25 years later. And I think that fellowship cuts through everything. It's churches are based on the principle of fellowship. You go to colleges and you have fraternities and stuff like that. I think fellowship is what feeds the soul. And if you can break down and relate to people on a human level, even in your marketing, you will connect with people on a deeper level and a more meaningful level.
Mickey, this has been excellent. Highly appreciate your time. Thank you so much. I'm going to close us down and we're going to catch up and then close us out. So thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome.